So here we are, Mitzvah Yom Kippur, and we just went through the sugya on Daf Dalet, in which we find that everybody seems to be made it, that you need to have the three dayanim. The question that we said only was that there was a machlokas whether those three dayanim were mi'ikar hadin. And that's because we would say that Iruv Parshiyos Katufka, which means that Midiraisa, you need three Dayanim with Halva'ot, because In Kesef Talvet Ami also requires Elohim, even though the Elohim isn't written there, but we understand that the Asher Yomar Ki Huzeh Ad Elohim Yavod Vashmehem, which appears in Parshat HaShomrim, is really a reference to In Kesef Talvet Ami. That's called Iruv Parshiyot. That would be Mosaic three Dayanim, either because we dash in all three Elohims, or because we dash in the last two Elohims and we say Ein Beit Din Shakur, but in any event would be a Deraisa. So the question is, if you don't hold of Yeruv Parshiyot, then the Din of Shlosha Dayanim, it turns out, is a Lechatzila, not a Ziyavad, because according to Shmuel, Shnayim Shadon of the Din, we'll see the Tosis learns that's even Echad. And if you hold that any Iruv Parshiyot, then it means that it's a Takanat Rabbanan in order to make sure that we don't have idiots in the dinner. We're assuming that within three people, one of them at least will know what's going on, otherwise we'll be left with an American jury system, which would be horrific. And this way we allow also, we force them to take responsibility. We say even Im Tov, Yishalmu, even though they have Rishus to be done, in order that it should be to be Dolcha Yoshvei Kronos, that they shouldn't be all that willing to get involved into this kind of din. And after all of that, surprisingly, today we learn at the bottom of Dalet Amud Beis, last line, Tanu Rabbanan, Dinei Omanut B'Shlosha, Vim Hayam Mumche V'Rabim Dan Afilo Yechidi. Here we come up with this new idea we never had before. If somebody is a Mumche V'Rabim, Mumche V'Rabim has two possible meanings, and we're going to discuss which one is being referred to over here. But Mumche L'Rabim, the Pashtus means that Mumche L'Rabim, the public recognizes him as a well-versed and experienced Dayan. But there's also another meaning, Mumche L'Rabim can also be that the Rabim have set him up in a position of expertise. Good Lord, much worse than I thought. About 30 seconds. So Mumche L'Rabim would mean someone that has been legally placed above the Rabim. In other words, the Rabim have been Himchavu. They put him above them. That would mean that there's some system by which the Rabim can come to appoint a Dayan. And we'll see that there is, in fact, such a thing. But this thing Gemara is going to talk about. But in any event, it's very strange. So here it says, even as a Dayan Yachid. So Rashi learns this is only because he holds Ein Kan Iruv Parshiyot. So therefore, Midiraisa, really, the halakha is one. The Rabbanan were Mesakin three in order to make sure that we have at least one that knows what he's doing. So Mamela, in a case where a guy is mamish, an expert, an extraordinary expert, over there, the Rabbanan left it on the Midiraisa. And maybe what would be the point of making a takona if this guy is the expert? So why would we need another two Dayanim? That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos says that's a problem because Rabbi Avu said before, everybody holds the Shnayim Shadonu Edinayim, and nobody holds them. What do you mean? I mean, here it would say Beferish, that it's included in this Brisa, that's really the Neyam Din. Therefore, Tosfos learns that this is a special halacha, that even if Midiraisa, it is Iruv Parshiyot, and you need three Dayanim, but because it helps the situation. We saw all of these takonas that we made was in order to lotino delat ifnei lovin. So over here also expanded the din of dayanut in order to allow a dayan who is a mumchet to be able to issue a summary judgment. That way we get things moving. Omer Nachman, kigon ana dan dinei mamanut biyachid. Now we know Reb Nachman was the expert judge. We always have a halacha like Reb Nachman because he's considered to be dayan. But what exactly, when he said someone like me, I mean, what that might mean a number of different things. Shemar will investigate. But kein amar apia kigon ana dan dinei mamanut biyachidi. Rav Chiya also said, I could be done in a moment. It's not, here was similar to a Nachman in Eretz Yisrael. Nachman was in Babel, he was in Eretz Yisrael. And that leads us to the question, Yiloyelo. Kegon Ana, when each one of them said over here, someone such as I. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean someone such as I, the Gamirna? First of all, I've learned everything. The Savirna, I also know how to use my Svara, how to apply it, and I have good judgment. But it also would mean the Nakitna Rishuta. Because both of the people here, Rav Nachman and Rav Chiya, were also empowered over the Rabbim. How were they empowered over the Rabbim? Well, Rav Nachman was empowered because the Reish Galuta, as we know from many Gemaras, the Reish Galuta had empowered him to be done. And the Reish Galuta is a mucker in the Torah that provides the Reish Galuta with Lo Yasur Shevet Miyuda. The Mechokek Bivein Raglav, the Shevet is the Reish Galuta. And it continues on the Yisrara of the Malchut Yisrael. And we'll talk about that actually, which Malchut. But in any event, he has the power of Hefker, Bez, and Hefker, because Srara always has Hefker, Bez, and Hefker, and therefore he can establish a Dayan Yachid and say, this man is hereby empowered to be done. So maybe it includes that element, and it wouldn't be enough just to be the Gamirna of the Savirna. Avalo Nakit Rishusa, Mashenken, if he was not empowered either by the Reish Galuta, or as Rabbi Chiya was empowered by the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Chiya was empowered by Rebbe, as we'll see. And Rebbe is also called Mechokek Mibein Raglav. He also comes from the family of David HaMelech. So perhaps if they wouldn't have that Rishus, it's not enough simply to be a renowned expert, and Dine Lav Dina. The din that he would don would be bottled completely and would be meaningless. Odioma. Or maybe the meaning of Kigonana is Apagadilona Kibrishusa Dina Dina. Even if he hadn't taken Rishus, the din would certainly be a kosher din, because the Rishus would just help to make it that even if he made a mistake, I mean, Hefter Bez and Hefter, he took Rishus, and that empowers him, and you can't force him to pay you back, perhaps, but the din would be a din based on the level of knowledge and svara. Says the Gemara, well, Tashma will bring you a raya about that, whether a mumcha l'rabim requires Rishus, or is a mumcha l'rabim without Rishus.
It's just political power?
It's not political, it's legal. The Nisi'ut in Eretz Yisrael has legal rights to be Koveya Dinim, and the Reish Galuta in Bavel has legal rights to be Koveya. We'll talk about what those rights are in a moment. But first, let's take a look at this case over here. The Marzutra Breit Rav Nachman Dan Dina V'ta'ah. Now Marzutra, Rav Nachman's son, made a mistake in a din that he judged. So he came to Rav Yosef, he wanted to know whether he's going to have to pay or not. Omar Leis, Rav Yosef says, well, Ikabluch Alayhu, if the defendants and the plaintiff, they went to you and accepted your judgment, in other words, they said, look, whatever you say goes, so in other words, it wouldn't matter even if you made a mistake, then you don't have to pay. But if not, Elo Zil Shalim, but if not, you're going to have to pay, unless they said specifically we're accepting even mistakes that you're making. So if that's the case, we see that we can't simply cancel the din. I mean, if Lamaisa, it's Dina Lab Dina, if you don't have Rishus. So what's the problem? I mean, just cancel the whole thing. I mean, why should he pay? I mean, so he said the wrong din. Okay, so now he's unsaying the wrong din. We're canceling the din, as he didn't have Rishus. So apparently you see from here that the din stands no matter what. The only question is, whether they were metabol, but didn't even as a ka'ut, and therefore he would not have to pay, or he would have to pay, but certainly can't simply say, well, actually, I didn't have Rishus to be done, and therefore forget the whole thing. So, Shema Mina, Ki lo nakit Rishus adina adina Shema Mina. So you see from here that even without getting Rishus from the Reish Galusa, still the din would stand. Omar Rav, Haiman de Boilam Eidam Dine, Vi'ito'o mi Boilam Nitzira, Now, if somebody wants to judge as a yachid, so he says, oh, well, I have a right to judge if I'm gemirna v'savirna, right? I don't need rishus. Is that what we just proved? Is that the din wouldn't be chayzer? But if he wants to be in a position where even if he makes a mistake, that he wouldn't have to pay, then lishka rishuta mi beresh galuta. Then he should see to it that he also gets the rishus from the resh galusa, because the resh galusa has the power of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker, because he has the power of Melucha. And again, we'll see a little bit later which power exactly we're talking about over here. But Chinam HaShmuel, Shmuel also said, Lishko Reshuta Mibereish Galuta, see to it that you get Reshus from the Reish Galuta, otherwise you're going to be in trouble if you make any kind of mistakes here. Now, Pshita Mi'akla Haka, clearly anywhere in Bava, for that matter, Mi'atam Lahatam, I mean, anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, if you got Reshus from the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, well, that's fine. Furthermore, Mi'akla Lahatam, if you get Reshus from the Reish Galuta, and you use that rishus to judge in Eretz Yisrael, that's also ma'ani. Why? Because in Eretz Yisrael, you have to, as we'll see why, but you have to accept the Srara of the Reish Galuta as well. And the reason for this is, the Haka Shevet, the Hatam Mechokek. Kiritanya lo yasu Shevet Miuda. The Shevet Miuda refers to the Rashi Galuyot Shebebavel. And Shevet is a concept of club. So it can use a stick to hit you over the head. So that means Shirodim et Yisrael B'Shevet, they can use the power of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. You don't like their din, it's too bad. This is what they've decided they're going to do. Whereas Mechokek Mibein Raglav, now Mechokek is not the same sense of power. Mechokek is the sense of learning, making up laws, but not able to take a shave and smash someone over the head. So the Mechokek Mibein Raglav is essentially the Nasi who stands on top of the Sanhedrin and has his Chabidah between his feet, so to speak. They're all sitting on the floor, the Gemara says, where he, Hillel, was sitting up, like a throne. That's Mibein Raglav. But that wouldn't necessarily give you the same power of the Shevet. Now, by the way, as Tosis points out, I mean, we've seen in the Gemara just the opposite, that when it comes to the Isra Beheter, it says over there, we are coupled to Eretz Yisrael. But that's because in Eretz Yisrael, there were greater Chachamim, and Abir Eretz Yisrael Machdim, and so on. So we are coupled to Eretz Yisrael in terms of the halachas of the Torah. However, we're not talking about that here. We are talking about the power to take money shalok edin with the din of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. Now that's already a different issue, because there you need the power of the shilton. So over there, I'm not sure, says the Gemara, what would be the din of mehatam lahaka. How about if in Eretz Yisrael you got rishus, and then you come into Eretz Yisrael and you want to use the rishus of Eretz Yisrael in order to impact on Bava. Now, would that be usable? That's our question. By the way, there's a fascinating Yerushalmi that Tosfos speaks about here. It says that the basis of all of this is that in Eretz Yisrael, the Mishpachat HaNasiim were from the females of Beis David, whereas the Reish Galuta in Babel was from the males of Beis David. And therefore the Srara went according to the males, the Mechokek went according to the females.
Say that again.
Yes, that's what we just said. No, that's right. Learning and the power of the Malchut are two different things. So in terms of the Dayanut, which is the
came from the Pasuk Shevet Yehuda. What's in the Pasuk? It comes from the Malchut?
Yehuda is Malchut. So the Shevet Mi Yehuda is the Resh Galusa in Bava.
That's the Malchut.
Yeah. And Mechokek Mibein Raglav is also from Yehuda.
But still, the Rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael showed that it's new more.
Correct.
So why should they have a problem? Over the Shvayim.
Lo lekalim mahamerot velo leyodim mechein. Shlomo HaMelech says. Doesn't work that way. You're right. In a perfect world, it should be that way, isn't it? But it doesn't work that way. No. I don't know. And this is not a definition. That's a different issue.
Okay, because it's different for the
plane. Yeah, I know, but there's two different inyanim over here. One has to do with smicha, one has to do with power. This is not, by the way, now that Barnea has raised this issue, I just want to make it clear. We're using the word mumcha in two completely different ways. Because until now we use the word bayanim mumchin as being smuchim. When we talk about ovirim hayam mumcha l'rabim, it has absolutely nothing to do with smuchim. It's talking about simply either gamir nevesabirna, or to have the power of the melucha. But it certainly doesn't mean that he had smicha from measure of him. That's not the issue over here. So there's two different elements that we'll see. We'll see later on as we go along how these two things interrelate. But over here, in terms of either the takana that will allow a dayan yachid, or the fact that a mumchel rabim, the way Rashi is learning that we're allowing it to remain on the diraisa because we hold einu k'varshi yotzkan. In either case, the halakha over here is that we're looking to a level of knowledge. We don't require any type of rishus. That's in terms of the din being a din. And there's the additional advantage of having the rishus of the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael or the rishus of the Reish Galuta in Bavel in order to give you also the power to be done without needing to pay in the event of error. What we want to figure out over here is what is the relationship between the empowerment of the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael to the situation in Bavel and vice versa. So we said that the Reish Galuta in Bavel can certainly give Rishus, and that Rishus would apply even in Eretz Yisrael. Even though normally we say Anan Kaifinan Lehu, we are coupled to them, that's in terms of Chachma. We in Bavel are coupled to them in Eretz Yisrael. Is the Lashon in Gemara, that's in terms of Chachma. It does this point out, but over here, in terms of the Malchut, the Shevet can be Kofei, even in the area of the Mechokek. And so, we need to bring a Raya for this. The Mechokek Bidein Raglav refers to B'nei Banav Shel Hillel, Shem Lamdim Torah Birabim. So our question is, Mihatam Lahakamai, what's the din from Eretz Yisrael to here in Bavel? It's always crazy saying that when you're here in Yerushalayim. It makes much more sense to learn Yerushalayim than in Teshma. Rabba Bar Chana. Rabba Bar Chana, now this is not to be confused with Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Rabba Bar Bar Chana was a grandson of Chana, and it makes a difference, as we'll see. So Rabba Bar Chana Dan Dina Vita'a. He made a mistake in a din. He comes to Rabbi Chiya. So he asks, do I have to pay? Amalei iki b'luch alayu lo teshalim. V'ilo yoshalim. If they were makabel your din, even if you make a mistake, then fine, you don't have to pay. But if not, you're going to have to pay. Now the problem is, we know from the story later, that Rabba Bar Chana actually did have reshut from the Nasi. Nonetheless, since he was in Bavel, apparently that reshut wouldn't have helped him and he would have had to pay. Unless they were makabel him, even if he makes a mistake. So you see from there, Shmamina, that mihatam lahaka lomahani Shmamina. Apparently from Rishus in Eretz Yisrael to Bavel doesn't help you, and you're still going to have to pay. Ask the Gemara of lomahani. Is that true, though? But certainly we know that Rabba Bar Avuna, ki avi mintzi ba'adi devei Reish Galus, and Rabba Bar Avuna did not get along very well. As a matter of fact, most of the Chachamim did not get along very well with the people in the Reish Galusa's house. So anyway, when they ever got into an argument, Omar, he would say, hey listen, creeps, love me knife would not keep me Rishusa. Stop bossing me around. I didn't take Rishus from you and this place. Now keep me Rishusa me Abba Mori. I got Rishus from my father of Huna. Abba Mori got Rishus from Rav. Rav me Rebbe Chiya. Rebbe Chiya me Rebbe. Now, this only means this was Shus, only means, as Tosis points out, that someone who has been empowered by the Nasi has a right to empower others. That's included in the power, is that he can empower others in this way. It is not to be confused. There are three totally different issues. Issue number one is smicha, which is what we talked about at the beginning of the Masechta. That is the Kabbalah from Moshe Rabbeinu, generation after generation. That has to do with what defines a dayan in the Torah in terms of certain dinim. Certainly lagabe dinim afachas, dinim knatzas, and so on. Then there is an inyan of mumchiyut. Mumchiyut has to do with a level of knowledge. Now we're talking about something that is called rishut. This rishut has to do with the right to be free of payment in case you're in error. And it gives you the power of essentially of hefker, bezdin, hefker. These three issues still are not our smicha. That's yet a fourth issue, which we're going to meet on Amud Beis. But so far what we're talking about over here is the rishus. Not that Ravuna had the right to give rishus. So he says, I was Bekavim Ravuna himself. That's not the point. It's since Ravuna was ultimately empowered from Rebbe, because Rebbe had empowered Rav Chiya, so therefore, Ravuna's son was telling the people in Reish Galusa, just leave me alone, I'm not interested in hearing your politics and your Mishigats, and I don't need you, and I didn't get Rishus here from you. So goodbye. Now the problem is, we just said that it doesn't help to get Rishus from the Nazi in Eretz Yisrael, which is ultimately what this is, in order to be Dan and Baba. So what do you mean he's telling them, I don't need you? He does need them. Or else, his Rishus is useless in Babel. So therefore, we seem to have a kasha in practical terms on our psalm over here. So you see, Amar lav minayach v'nakita Rishus, I didn't get Rishus from you guys. Nakita Rishus mi Abba Mori, Abba Mori mi Rav, Rav mi Rebbe Chia, Rav Chiba Rebbe. Yeah, he figured they were too stupid to know the difference. And actually, the milk of the Alma with the Okim Lahu. He was just trying to shut them up, but the truth is if they would have backed them up against the wall and they would have known differently, they could have said, well, okay, go ahead with your Rishus, see what a lot of good it's going to do you. Well, so then, Miyakir Lomahani, but then if in fact it wasn't helping him, why did he bother? So then, Rabba Barchana, Rishut Adonakat Lamali. Why did he get Rishus? Because on the way he was going to be in various cities that were on the road to Babel that were still underneath the overall Srara of Eretz Yisrael, so for those areas he wanted to have Rishus. Now, this leads us to a little bit of a problem, because what if Lamaita, he knew that it doesn't help to have Rishus, why did he bother getting Rishus? He was going to Babel, so why did he take Rishus from his father to go to Babel? This is on the way. There were ayarot that were summit to the Gvul.
But he didn't know. He had
no, he knew.
He might just have to pay.
When? No, he wanted to know if he had to pay in this that particular case. Maybe the question was whether that kind of toast. That's a good question. I don't know. Ariel's always on the ball. I don't really know the answer to this question. So I just try to be doken, but you for the Alma, you know? It's a good question. In any event, the problem is this. If Lamaisa, the Srara, applies even in Eretz Yisrael, it seems pretty clear that that Srara would be a function of the Malchus of Yehuda. So why then does Rashi say here that Shirodim ta'am sheyeshlem koach v'reshut mi'et malchei paras? Because Mi'et Malchei Paras wouldn't help in Eretz Yisrael anyway, since Eretz Yisrael was not under Malchei Paras, still under Rome. So, the Rishonim talk
originally.
About this. Sorry?
Is he talking originally?
No, now, here. So, there are many who learn that Rashi is not explaining the mocker of the Srara. Rashi is just saying, since Lamaisa were saying Shirodim Ta'am, so how could they, in practical terms, be Rodes, Aram, and Golas? So just explaining, and it's not a problem. They can even actually do it because they have Rishus from Malchei Paras, but that's not what gives them the Srara that affects Din. Affects Din is the Pasuk that comes from the Srara of Malchus Yehuda, not from Malchei Paras. So Rashi was just saying the practicalities of Shrodin and Taham, because the pasuk is prophesying that Lamaita they will be Rodea Taham, and in fact they were, because they had Rishus, they were recognized by Malkei Poras as being empowered over internal Jewish affairs, such as happened throughout the Galut, right? That the governments recognized empowerment over internal Jewish affairs, even to be Dan Dina. Now, my Rishus, how exactly does this Rishus, how is it given? What does it sound like? And here we start stumbling over to our smicha. Well, it's like this. Kiavinochis Rabba Bar Chana. Again, this is not Rabba Bar Bar Chana. When Rabba Bar Chana was going to Babel, Amalei Rabbi Chia L'Rebbe, Rabbi Chia said to Rebbe, Ben Achi Yored L'Babel, my nephew is going to Babel. He would like to know, Yored, could he have permission from you to be Moreh? Rebbe said, Yored, no problem. Yadin, could he actually don dinim of Mominus? Said Rebbe, Yadin, fine, let him. Yatir Bekorot, could we allow him to actually see Mumin on a Bekor and be Matir, according to those Mumin? Said Rebbe, Yatir. Now this has become, of course, the Lashon of our Smicha. There's three levels of Smicha, just like here. Yore, yore, is this. Yore, yore. Yadin, yadin became yore, yore, yadin, yadin. It's stolen from this Gemara. But this Gemara was not referring to anything that has to do with our smicha. This was a concept of empowerment in terms of tashlumim. Now, when Rav was going to Babel, Rav Chia asked Rebbe the same thing, and he said, Ben Achoti, he said, my nephew, except at this time he said it was his sister's son. So, but it's still a nephew. I got this other nephew going down to Babel. Seems to be a lot of nepotism here, huh? I got another nephew going down to Babel. Yoreh, Yoreh. Yadin, Yadin. Yatir Bechorot? Nope. Oh, Yatir. Nope, nope, nope. Anyway, but we'll go now into the details. So first of all, Maishna Lamar Dikakori Ben Achi, Umaishna Lamar Dikakori Ben Achoti. Why did he call Rabba Bar Chana his nephew through his brother, and he called Rav his nephew through his sister? You're going to say, because that's the way it was, but it wasn't. Because Amar Mar, Ivo, Chana, Sheila, and Marta, and Rapia, all of those are brothers. Kulu b'nei Abba Bar Acha Karsala Mikapri Abba. These were all children of Abba Bar Acha, some say it's Bar Sala, from Kapri. Now, that's a town. So that means that Rapia himself had the brother Ivo. Ivo was Rav's father, as we see in many, many Gemaras. And Chana, and this is Rabba Bar Chana, so that both Chana and Ivo were brothers to Rapia, in which case both Rav and Rabba were nephews from brothers. So why did he call Rav his nephew from his sister? Well, Rav Barachua Dahavi Barachte. It's because Rav was his nephew both from a brother and from a sister. Because the brother and sister had married each other, not being related in any way. Since the father, Abba Baracha Karsala, had previously been married, then he married a woman who had a daughter from another husband, from whom he also had Chana, a son. But this daughter was unrelated to Ivu. Her name was Ima. So Ivu married Ima and had Rav, you see. But they were unrelated completely. But to Rapia, it was his sister's from his mother and his brother's from his father's son. So he could have really referred to him as my nephew from my sister and my brother. But in order... Listen, I got a cousin like this too in my family. Exactly the same thing happened. Wow. Yeah. So they didn't get along very well though in the end. The marriage blew up. But it did happen. So in any event, in order to establish that the unusual element of it is, assuming you know he's my nephew, but he's also my nephew from my sister. So he, or we could say, a nephew from a sister, it demands a much greater avuncular reaction. And therefore, Rukia was telling Rebbe, now listen here, I mean, it's one thing to use protexia for a nephew from a brother. This is my nephew from my sister. Yatir b'charaz? No. Ah! But anyway, maybe that's the problem. Yeah, we see that in some places, that there's a greater sense of connection. So, or, you know what, it could also be, he was trying to point out the incredible chokma of Rav, and so he wanted to make reference to his sister, because it says, in emor lo chokma achotiat. So, Rebbe being sensitive to the relationship of chokma and sisters, would certainly take the remez when he said, this is my sister's son. But wait a minute, so, Yatir b'chorot al yatir, that was nasty. I mean, my time, why wouldn't Rebbe allow Rav to be Matir B'choros if he allowed Rav Barakana to be Matir B'choros? You think it's because Rav wasn't smart enough? Oh boy. Karmina D'Chokhim Tuva. First of all, we just said he's called him Ola Chokhma Akhutiyat. I mean, so he certainly couldn't be less of a Chokhim than Rav Barakana. And anyway, what are you going to say? Mishum D'lo B'kiya B'mumi. Well, maybe he wasn't B'kiya B'mumi. Omer Rav Shmonasar Chodashim Yidat Yetoroya B'ima. I spent 18 months in the field, living out with the shepherds in order to learn, Leida Ezeu Mum Kavua Ezeu Mum Over. So, I mean, how could he possibly have less expertise that we should say, Al Yatir? Well, it could be, Lechalik Lo Kavod Rav Barakana. It could be, I mean, having Rav following him would sort of deflate his position terribly, unless he was left with something that it was unique. So we gave him Yatir Becheres, we didn't give it to Rav, so he should have his little piece of the action, and the people should come to him for that. Or it could be something else. It could be that Rav was overqualified. Maybe it's Mishum Ha'igufa. Since Rav was so qualified for Mumin, so the Rav Bekiyah B'Mumin Tvei, the Shori Mumin D'lo Yada Inchi, he would be Matir Mumin that nobody would have really would understand what he was doing. So they would go around saying, oh, well, this is a Mumin that Rav was Matir, even though it really wasn't the same Mumin at all, but to their inexpert eyes, it looks like the same Mumin. So because of that, Rebbe didn't want to loose that monster onto the field, because people would come to all kinds of wrong Piskei Halachas, thinking that they knew what he had been Matir.
He was overqualified.
Yeah, overqualified. You know what I said? I thought I said yes. Yeah, he was overqualified, yeah. I thought maybe I said the word wrong.
No, surprising.
So they would say, V'amriki, I got the show of Rav. They would say, oh, well, this is the kind of movement that Rav was Matir. So they would end up being Matir Mumovir. Now, what is this yore business anyway? I mean, I understand. What do you need a reshus for yore? I say yadin. We said reshus is to see to it that if you make a mistake in din, you don't have to pay the money back. But what do you mean yore? I mean, somebody asks you whether it's mutter to eat this or something. Why do you need reshus from somebody to say whether something is mutter or utzer? And here, at last, we come to that which smacks of our smicha. So the reason, says the Gemara, is yore yigomer reshus alam. If you know the din, why do you need reshus? Mishum ma'atzeh shahaya. It's because of a story that led us to institute controls over who would pass in halachas. And the story was like this. The time. Pa'am achat alach rebi l'makom echad. Rebbe once went to a certain location, v'ra'a b'nei adam shemegablim isoteihem b'tum'ah. And he saw people that were making their isos, and they were makbid on tum'ah, and they were ending up bringing the tum'ah onto their challah and so on. And they weren't makbid on making sure that they were tahar before they touched the wet dough. So he asked them, Amar lahem, what's going on over here? Amrulo, oh, well, Talmidah Kad Balakan, There was this Talmud, very smart guy, he came around here. V'hor alonu, and he taught us that mei bitzaim ein makshirin, that if you have water that comes from swamps, it's not makshir l'kabel tuma. Now, he never said that, he said, you see. What he said was, mei bitzim. Bitzim is bitzaim in Aramaic. Bitzim is bitza, like we use today for the a swamp. A bitza is a swamp. Right? So he said mei bitzim. But he never said mei bitzim. He said mei bitzim. But he's one of these yeshiva guys. Mei bitzim, mei bitzim. So they heard him say mei bitzim. He would have said mei bitzim. So they ended up saying, oh, mei bitzim, you mean mei bitzayim. So, oh, that's convenient. So they used the water from sort of like swamps. We'll see, it isn't really swamps, so it's going to explain. But they used swamp water, and they figured then they don't have to be marked, but after the tire, it's great. What a convenience.
Is this a riot for the ancient source of Brooklyn accent?
And he had actually said, Lahu may beitzim darash lahu. He taught them may beitzim. Now they jumped to the conclusion, they had said may beitzim, in their terms, inusavri may beitzaim ka'omar. And the truth is they were primed for this mistake. How were they primed for this mistake? Because they had already made a similar mistake themselves. Because they learnt the Mishnah that said, To nami baha, me karamyonu me figa, bisulin, mipnei shehem me bitzim. Now, it says over there that the Karamyon River and the Figa River, and what's strange is that these are real rivers, because we had in Baba Basra that these are rivers, and here we're calling them bitzim. So Tosis explains they're not really bitzim, they're just extremely dirty water. They're very heavily silted. Because at the stage where they were carrying all the silt from the delta along with them. Because of that, they're not kosher for the chatas. Why? Because you need mayim chayim el keli. So even though, this is how Tosfos understands, even though it's mayim chayim, but because of the silt in it, it's not el keli, because the silt is mapsik between the walls of the kli and the water. And when it settles, it wasn't mayim chayim el keli, because at the time it was put into the kli, it wasn't mayim chayim el keli. Fine. In any event, they learned in the Mishnah that the mei pigo is not considered to be kosher water for chatas. So they figured, if it's not kosher water for chatas, it's also not makshir. They weren't really sure about that. But when this guy came along and said, Nibitzim aren't kosher, that's what they said. That's what we always thought. Of course, it's not really water. And therefore, they tied the whole thing together and they came up with this brilliant shot, which was completely off the wall. Because Inu Sofa Midagabe Chatas Psili, Afshuri Nami Lo Makshuri, they thought it was a Makshur Kabal Tumor, because it has absolutely nothing to do with that. Below he, Hosom Le Inin Chatas, when it comes to the Porat Chatas, which is another way of referring to the Porat Duma, the Inan Mayim Chayim. Whereas Orcha, Akshuri, if you're talking about being Makshur, something Kabal Tumor, Kodu Makshuri, any type of water is going to be Makshur. In any event, Rebbe said, it's time to put some controls on what type of people are going around darshaning over here. So Tanabo Tasha Agazru, Talmid Al Yore Ela Imkein Notel Rishut Mirabo. So now already, Yore, does mean, essentially, at least according to many, is the mocker of what we call smicha. In other words, it's not supposed to be simply an analysis of the Gomir, the Sovir, how much he knows, and so on. But it's meant to be an analysis of how well he can communicate too. And therefore it's a reshus, which is now reshus purely in terms of dinim, just in order to make sure that you have attained a level of a communicative expertise. And separate halacha from
business today, during your monopoly, because it was curious with no smith at all.
I mean, that doesn't, no.
And that's what we say today, the smith is not a genuine smith of years ago.
You're confusing two different things. The smicha, that is, the real smicha, it refers to a Kabbalah from Moshe Rabbeinu, which ended at the time of the Gemara. And that never was Rimechudash, although there were two attempts to be Rimechadash. Because of the Rambam believes it can be Rimechudash. But this element is something else. This is not a Dor Acher Dor Smicha. This is simply that the one who has authority to be done and has achieved a level of mumchiyut and communication, if he has a Talmud, he should make sure that Talmud is ready to be done before he goes out into the public. This really connects to another issue, which is, does the Talmud have to be careful not to issue din him in the lifetime of his Rav? Another question. So certainly in the makom of a Rav, that we learn out from Moshe Rabbeinu, as we'll see. Because what was going on in the Midbar was a very strange thing. I mean, you had everybody lined up asking shilas for Moshe Rabbeinu. So that means if somebody had a question of milchix and fleishix mixing, or he's got a problem with his Teflon-coated frying pan, he sits in line for a day waiting to ask Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, there must have been people that could have answered that without us waiting to go to Moshe Rabbeinu. Not to mention the fact that he had to drive 12 miles to get there. I mean, it was a crazy situation. Why was everybody, it says in the passage, everyone who had a question was going out to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why were they going out to Moshe Rabbeinu? But that's because no one was able to be Moshe, because Moshe Rabbeinu was alive and they were all Talmidim of Moshe.
Isn't that what Yisrael is talking about?
No, that's part of Nikita's Rishus. But anyway, so you see from there that without a specific Rishus, you can't be Mora. So Machlokas, whether the Rishus helps the Mokum Rabbi or not, the general Rishus. Okay, but in any event, here we're talking about, just to make certain, but you are correct, that there was a long period without the Smicha, was Nifkadesh, really, in Ashkenaz, much, much later, and in other places later yet, so it's not really connected directly to this issue, but it's the same idea, the same kind of idea, maybe. I said, not everybody agrees. Some say that it really has nothing to do with this either. It's just stam na halacha, ask the kavod of the rab to ask the rab and not to be meira, while the Rambam's Talmud, when he asked him, does he have a right to open a yeshiva? You know, that beautiful, beautiful letter the Rambam wrote his Talmud. And apparently Rabbi Yaakov Vaknin was in Baghdad and asked Rishus from the Rambam, who was his Rebbe, to open a yeshiva in Baghdad. And he shouldn't open up a yeshiva in the lifetime of his Rebbe. The Rambam writes a fabulous answer, but it's so nogea, such a contemporary answer. He says, look, you certainly have my Rishus to open yeshiva, but I don't understand why anyone would want to open up a yeshiva. You're going to end up doing absolutely nothing but raising money and politicking. You're not going to have any chance to learn. And if you're smart, I'll give you a good answer. So here's my answer. You go to medical school, you'll end up becoming a doctor, you'll have much more time to learn. It's an amazing tshuva. And I don't know, but if you want to be crazy and open a yeshiva, go ahead. Even recommend some medical schools for him. I guess he was going to give him a recommendation. All right. Anyway, so getting back to the subject. He got into a lot of trouble. Yeah, defending the Rambam. So anyway, they were gozer bozer shah talmid al yorei elim kenot rishus kanav. Now, Tanchum, Berei the Rabbi Ami, Ikhla Lechatar, and he was Doresh. Now, this sugya, you see, is being brought up here because it's all Nogea Netilas Rishus. He's in this town called Chatar. So he tells them, Mutter Lil Tot Chitim BePesach. You're allowed to moisten the Chitim that you're going to use to make the flour for your matzah on Pesach. Boy, can you imagine if we did that today, huh? Oh,
yeah.
Oh my God. So, this actually was the halacha. The Gaonim answered this, but it was the halacha because they would wet it as part of the process of grinding it and making the matzah so that there wasn't time for it to be miskamed. The Gaonim answered any type of latita because of the possibility.
Before the 18 minute
blessing. Yes, long before. Omer lo, so they told him in town, now wait a minute. Lav Rav Moni de Minsur Ikahacha. Doesn't Rav Moni from Sur live here? V'tanya Talmid al Yoreh halakha b'makom rabo. Last we heard, you had learned by Rav Moni Minsur. And you're not allowed to say halachim in Kenaya Rachok Rimeno Shalosh Parsaot Kineged Machane Yisrael. And this is learned from Moshe Rabbeinu, that was Shalosh Parsaot. Although actually, it's a little bit of a problem because Moshe Rabbeinu at that time, V'yakom Mevakesh Hashem, the Pasuk of Kol Mevakesh Hashem is after Moshe Rabbeinu took out his tent and went out of the Machana because everybody was in Nidui. So it was actually more than Shalosh Parsos, and yet the Mocher is Moshe, so Rashi says, well, okay, but Moshe is Miuchad because of that. But of course, then we're left without really a strong Mocher for the Shalosh Parsos. But anyway, he told them, Amalahu, oi! You're right. Lava datoy. I didn't realize I wasn't thinking. But if he's here, so enough dinami. Cancel that sock. Now, Rabbi Chia Chazilahu Gav. Now, this story, as it's quoted here, doesn't seem to belong here at all. It says, Rabbi Chia saw a man in a Beit HaKvarot. Omar Lei told him, hey, Lav Ben Ish Ploni Kohen Ata? Aren't you so-and-so's son, so-and-so the Kohen? Omar Lei said, yeah, well, in, but Abu Adu Gavra Gvai Naim Havi, the dad of this guy, meaning his father, was sort of stuck up fellow, Matan Einav de Grusha, and he had his eyes on this Grusha, so Gvai Naim in the sense of being Helek Akra Einav, fell in love with this divorcee, and he married her, and I am the outcome of that, and I'm a Chalal. Now, what in the world is this doing here? So Rashi says it's doing here in that Rabbi Chia did this even though it was in the Mokum of Rabbi, so that it's bringing it to show that in a place where it's Afrushe Mi'isura, there's no Indian of getting Rishus because you have to be Mafish, the guy from Issa. But as Rashi himself is Mafkir, and Tosfos says it's the only way to understand this, and those of you who just finished the Yerushalmi of Shvius will remember this story from the Yerushalmi. What it actually says in the Yerushalmi is not Rebbe Chia, but rather Rebbe Chazya. And this is the continuation of the previous story when Rebbe came to the Meibitzin place. That was by Akko. And this was being brought as rayas of which areas are considered to be chutz la'aretz, to be metame. So it says over there, Rebbe saw that guy that was in a makom of tumah, which was chutz la'aretz, and it had nothing to do with the...
It wasn't based
upon? No, but that was a coin, doesn't have a right to go out there. It's an ami. That was the problem. That's how it's brought. The exact same story is brought in Shvius, and it's very likely that Rebbe Chia is actually Rebbe Chazya, meaning Rebbe Chazya. So, okay, that would explain the whole thing, and we don't have any problems, because this all took place at the same time.
The
whole
of the
time? Next question.
Is
Moshe for Cholo? Yeah, Cholo doesn't have Kashrus, it doesn't have Bidei Tumah.
Is he a Rebbe
Chia? Sure, he's a Rebbe Chia. No, but he's a Levi, he's from Shevet Levi.
I'm saying, so
of course. You could call him for a Kohen, actually, but we don't, yeah, we're very makel about these things, because not to embarrass people and so on. Now, the question is, Rishus, that's a semi-Rishus. How about for certain things? Well, that's obvious. Pshita lepalga. You could certainly give a partial rishus. I mean, he gave him rishus for Yoreh, for Yadin, but not for Yatzir Bechoro. So, I mean, rishus doesn't have to be a blanket rishus, so that's fine. But how about, could it be conditional on something? Could it be, well, I'm giving you rishus for X amount of time, or I'm giving you rishus as long as the Rav or Rashi is out of town, or whatever, something like that. What's the din about that? Tashma, the Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, the Rav Shaman. The way that Rabbi Yochanan gave Rishus to Rav Shaman was by saying, Hare atab Rishutenu ad shetavo etzlenu. You have our permission to be done until you come back, and at that point it's cancelled. So you see that there is such a thing as a temporary or a conditional smicha, in our terms, or Rishus. Okay, let's call it a night.
It was already.